Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Very good morning to you. My name is Nick the Moose Batsman, and I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date's Monday the 23rd of November. We're here 10 a.m. every day, covering markets and sport live from the heart of London, St Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thought-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say here, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. Today's guest list in no particular order: Mark Oswald, Marcus Ashworth, Zach Mir, Jonathan Verney, Steve Woodcock, Ben Harrington, John Eade, James Hughes, Tony Cross, and Mark the Couch Winstanley. Let's kick off with Mark Oswald, market strategist at ADM Investor Services. Morning to you, young Mark.
Morning.
Themes this week, lots of data points out from the US and Japan. We've got the autumn statement. Is this an exciting week for sort of strategists?
To some extent. The only problem is all of this data, as much as some of it is important in terms of making a medium-term assessment of the US or the Japanese economy, and indeed the autumn statement in terms of where we go with our budget over here, is all going to be largely seen through the prism of what's the Fed going to do and what's the ECB going to do in December. And if you put it from that perspective, purely, very narrowly, is it going to change much? Unlikely, to be very, very honest. It's got basically a 13 basis points priced in terms of a deposit rate cut from the ECB. The market has about a 65 to 70% chance, roughly, of a Fed, the Fed moving, and the Fed seems to be trying to push that expectation up. Will any of this data really materially change it? I doubt it. Probably the most important thing will be the Thanksgiving holiday in terms of marking the end of the corporate issuance season, largely for the US. And in terms of taking away a lot of liquidity, so we could be in for a little bit of a choppy ride, more through a lack of liquidity, and people sort of gradually starting to think that they want to pull back for the year unless they see a big opportunity, than any particular reason of any other reason, i.e. more fundamental reason.
Right. Black Friday, this new phenomenon, are you keen on this?
It seems that the retailers are gradually getting less keen on it. As we've seen over here, there are a number, and in the States, but over here, as they've already said, basically they're not going to be participating in the whole thing. I think the problematic for a lot of the retail sector is basically they're paying, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. Mm. So you start basically cannibalizing some of the Christmas sales, some of the post-Christmas sales, pre and post-Christmas sales. And at some point it becomes self-defeating because all you're really doing is selling goods at discounted prices, but you're never really getting that big boost to volumes. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year.
It was very interesting. One statistic I read was that one in five purchases on Black Friday are done with a view to sell on at a profit.
Well, there you go. And therein lies a big lesson, I think, for the retailers, that actually if that's all they're doing, is for the small man to sell it on eBay, then perhaps it's probably best they don't and take the margins themselves, particularly in these stressed times for the retail sector.
Understood. Let's go through a few slides. Now, the first one, the most important one of the day, boom, boom, the Tip TV finance app. Get the latest tips first, download from the App Store. So that's Tip TV in the 21st century, just a gentle reminder there. Let's move on to Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle. Just a couple of thoughts from her today. 16 arrests overnight and they still haven't found the main suspect of the Paris terror attacks. The country remains on the highest alert because, as said by PM, we fear an attack similar to what happened in Paris with multiple individuals, maybe even that strike several locations at the same time. How, in terms of the markets, obviously everyone's very nervous about this situation and rightly so. Is there anything in terms of the markets and the instability that's going to basically, is there anything we can do to sort of help the situation?
Not really. What we really need is a concerted long-term plan to try and resolve the problems in Syria and Iraq. For the time being, these terror cells are going to exist. And in fact, the more we go after them in Iraq and Syria, not saying this is wrong, the more they're likely to try and strike abroad. Mm. So really all that the authorities can do is up the security levels. And I think most people and the man on the street is probably quite happy with that. They'd rather feel assured that the government is doing something about it than not. In market terms, yes, naturally, people would say, well, buy defence and and security stocks. But then you actually have a look, for instance, in the US, how well defence stocks have done relative to the S&P. They've outperformed by multiple amounts.
Right.
So it's already in the price.
Understood. Let's go on to Nicole's second slide. Welcome to Macrimon, I can't even say it. The two-term mayor of the city of Buenos Aires, erstwhile businessman and ex-president, Boca Juniors football team, Mauricio Macri, won 51% of the presidential vote. The reformist centre-right opposition leader beats Peronist continuity candidate Daniel Scioli at Sunday's election, ushering in what many hope to be a new era for the embattled country. That was a test the first thing Monday morning, wasn't it? Oh, just as well, I've got my dentures in. A couple of words on this in terms of Argentina.
It's very significant. This is the third effort we're having at a non-Peronist government since the overthrow of the military government in 1983. The other two ended up ignominiously, particularly for De La Rua, who basically had to flee, and Argentina went into default in 2002. It's most profound. Obviously, what people want is for him to sort out the debt situation, to get rid of this ridiculous multi-tiered FX regime that they have, and to get down to reforming the economy. And in that sense, it's most profound for the agricultural sector and for the oil sector, or the oil stroke energy sector. Argentina actually had, at the end of last year, the highest rig count, i.e. shale gas rig count, after the USA, which many people are aware of. So there are certainly, you know, with a more attractive investment environment rather than the interventionist policies of the Peronist government, there are certainly opportunities there, but he has to deliver. More importantly is for the agricultural sector. It is the agricultural sector, or the agricultural vote, which won him this election.
Right.
Argentina, as we know, is the biggest soy producer in the world. It potentially, but it underproduces colossally, both in terms of corn and wheat. He has basically stated he wants to see both of those increase by at least 50% over the next 4 to 5 years, which would actually put Argentina's corn output up to second in the world, sweeping them past both Russia and Brazil to become the second biggest exporter. Now, the question obviously then is, how much does the world want all this excess production? But more importantly, it is, you know, these are the two big areas where, if you're looking at it in terms of investments, where Argentina really is a big opportunity. Eminently, there's going to be a lot of skepticism. We've been here before with non-Peronist governments. Both have failed miserably and been replaced by interventionist Peronist governments again. So it's understandable that people will be sceptical. I still think that this is perhaps a better opportunity than we've seen before. As I say, opportunity.
Understood. OK, so let's move on to the next slide, courtesy of FX Street, Mr. Omkar Godbole. His thoughts for today: the Fed to decide on discount rates today. To review and determination by the Board of Governors of the advance and discount rates to be charged by the Federal Reserve Banks. Rising discount rate could be read as commitment to lift off in December and trigger last leg up in the US dollar index. Discount rate, not really discount, but is a premium over Fed funds rates. Is that all accurate?
That is accurate. The question is, do they want to make a signal right now? So, because they have this meeting on a regular basis a couple of weeks after the Fed funds meeting. At this meeting previously, we've had plenty of the regional Federal Reserves who all get a vote. Most importantly, that's what distinguishes this from the FOMC, where it's an alternating vote. And you've certainly already got three who are constantly voting for a discount rate hike. Some have been voting for about 15 months. That we'd get a majority, I'd be surprised, in the sense that all the messages that we're getting from the various Federal Reserve speakers, above all the important ones like Mr. Fisher and Mr. Dudley, is they want to see the rest of the data that's seen coming. We've still got 3.5 weeks till the next FOMC meeting. So I don't think there's going to be a sufficient, they're not going to want to form a majority, but it will be interesting to see whether one or other of those banks, which those regional Federal Reserves, which haven't previously voted for a discount rate hike, do vote for one at this meeting. And that certainly will be taken as a signal of intent for the December meeting.
Understood. Okay, that wraps up our market roundup.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.